are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
The date we all look forward to, Sunday, March 14th, 2021, otherwise known as Selection Sunday. So on this episode of the Locked On Big Ten Podcast, once again, it is Bracketology Wednesday. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten Podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Wednesday, February 17th. If it's a Wednesday in the stretch run until March Madness, you can expect it to be Bracketology Wednesday, which means we are joined by our resident bracketologist, the one they call CBB Central, otherwise known as Kevin Sweeney, back on the show, the only bracketologist we know here on the Locked On Big Ten Podcast, fresh off releasing his latest bracketology for Sports Illustrated. We dive into it. We ask him the questions as it pertains to the Big Ten Conference. Kevin, great to have you back on another edition of Bracketology Wednesday.
Thanks for having me, Ben, as always. It's a great time of year.
Kevin, has anybody come up to you in the last week since I coined you the resident bracketologist and be like, oh, there's Kevin Sweeney walking past me, the resident bracketologist of Locked On Big Ten?
Well, I gained like 6 or 7 Twitter followers as soon as you shouted me out officially. So that's all you can ask for. I appreciate it. That's
huge. Anytime I gain one follower, I like tell everybody about it. I'm like, this is the greatest moment of my life. So to get 6 or 7, I'm glad. I'm glad that Locked On Big Ten can bring you that power. So in your most recent bracketology that was released on Tuesday afternoon for Sports Illustrated, you had 10 teams in the Big Ten tournament with Maryland making it in the last 4 in category. We'll dive into that. But before we do, this past Saturday, the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee gave us a preview with their top 16 reveal. Michigan and Ohio State were number 1 seeds. Illinois was on the 2 line in Iowa as a 4 seed. So 4 Big Ten teams in that top 16 from the selection committee. What did you learn from what the selection committee released on Saturday?
I don't think anything was overly earth-shattering. I think a lot of people might have pointed at Oklahoma and said, okay, well, that was a little higher than we might have expected. Missouri sneaking in the top 16 was an indicator that the committee, as always, will value quality wins over metrics. Let's say Missouri, a team in the 30s in the net and in the top 16 because of their terrific wins. And I think if you re-rank them now, they would be out of that top 16 because of a loss, but that's how this works. Snapshot in time. But for the most part, I don't think any significant surprises, nothing really off by more than a couple of spots on a seed list that I would have expected. The Big Ten in an excellent position for 2 number 1 seeds. Michigan treated well by the committee, Illinois treated well by the committee. So I think overall, no major surprises from the, the first look at what we might expect from the committee come Selection Sunday.
And those 2 number 1 seeds from the Big Ten Conference that the selection committee had in their top 16, Michigan and Ohio State, coming off wins this weekend. They have a game tomorrow on Thursday night. And then the 2 face off on Sunday. How do you expect that result on Sunday afternoon to affect the number 1 seed line, if it will at all, for the NCAA tournament?
I think the great thing for top-tier Big Ten teams is winning can do you a whole lot of good, and losing doesn't do you too much damage. I mean, obviously, a Michigan-Ohio State battle will be big, and it would, Ohio State beats Michigan, you would expect them to jump Michigan on the seed list and take the number 3 overall seed, and vice versa. If Michigan beats Ohio State, it would put them clearly at the number 3 overall seed, giving a little bit of separation. But realistically, Illinois, Ohio State, Michigan, and to a lesser extent, Iowa, have positioned themselves so well in terms of both metrics and quantity of quality wins. That's a tongue twister, but quantity of quality wins that I think realistically there's a lot they can do to help themselves and move up seed lines. And if they lose, it's like, oh, well, they already have good wins. That's not a bad loss. The Big Ten's great, whatever. So, obviously when you go on a losing skid like Iowa had, where they lost 4 or 5, that can hurt you. But I think, teams like Ohio State, Michigan, it's kind of house money at this point, and they'll have the opportunity to make their case. I think, honestly, you could argue Michigan needs that game more than Ohio State does because they haven't had the opportunities to get those wins. Ohio State leads the country in quadrant 1 wins. Their resume is somewhat secure. Michigan could really use a big win to add to their resume after the 3-week COVID pause.
And tomorrow night, Michigan has Rutgers, Ohio State has Penn State, so can't look past either of those two opponents before we get to Sunday. We didn't have the game in this Big Ten football season, but we will get the game in Big Ten basketball. We all look forward to Sunday afternoon. Now, Iowa was on the four line when the selection committee released that top 16 on Saturday, then picked up a really impressive win over Michigan State with Luka Garza scoring in single digits. No CJ Frederick. Was that enough for you because you have Iowa as a three seed to move them up a spot in your latest bracketology?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is certainly that, like, Virginia lost, West Virginia lost, Tennessee lost. Like, three of the four teams that were directly ahead of them lost, and that helped Iowa. And Iowa was the number one of the four seeds. So that certainly helped. But, yeah, I mean, the metrics have swung back in Iowa's favor. I would be really hard-pressed to take the number four team in KenPom and not give them a top three seed. Like that to me, I mean, and that would be seeding malpractice, and it really wouldn't be fair to whoever's the 13 that would line up with the Hawkeyes. And, you know, obviously it was the bounce back that Iowa needed. You know, they're top eight now in the net as well at number seven at last check. So I feel pretty good about them as a top three seed at this point, as long as they, you know, that the last two wins have not been an aberration, as long as they can, you know, finish relatively strong and with a relatively favorable schedule in terms of, you know, some opportunities to get good wins. I think they will be in good shape to get a top three seed. Obviously the four line, maybe one below what they were hoping for that Saturday, but I think still very well positioned.
And like you mentioned, that top 16 reveal is truly a moment in time. A couple hours later, if a team loses or wins, it's going to affect how the selection committee sees it. And we're still less than 4 weeks away now from bracketology, from Selection Sunday. I have to ask you, though, you've used a couple terms here. The quantity of quality wins and seeding malpractice. Are those things, are those buzzwords within the bracketology group chat that I'm sure you are featured in this March Madness?
There is a group chat. There are lots of people. I'm always texting, like, hey, like, what do you think about this? And, you know, I think at the bottom line, where our goal is sometimes frustrating in that we're not predicting, you know, what we want to happen. It's what we think the committee will do. So it's great that I think Loyola Chicago is like a top 10 caliber team potentially, or, you know, Loyola Chicago deserves a five seed, but I don't think the committee is going to think that. So why would I seed them that way? Right. So, you know, I think it's things like that, right? So obviously a team like Iowa, you kind of have to put your personal opinions aside, but there are certain terms, certain things you're looking for, and certainly the quality wins and the total number of those quality wins, you know, the quadrant one win total, the quadrant one plus two win total are things that I'm looking at all the time. And, you know, Big Ten teams in particular are pretty well positioned in that regard because of the strength of the league. I mean, teams like Minnesota and Maryland have pretty underwhelming resumes overall, but they're like, okay, well, they've got three great wins or four great wins, and all of a sudden you got to put it in the field. So those are the things you're thinking about constantly, and the Twitter DMs, the texts, they're always hot this time of year.
I can't wait to ask you my questions about Minnesota and Maryland, two of the most intriguing teams in the Big Ten Conference as it relates to the NCAA tournament, possibly in all of college basketball. But before we do that, I have to ask you about Wisconsin. They are now losers of four of their last seven games. They slid down to the five seed line in your latest bracketology. Do you think they can tumble any further down? And as we get through this home stretch of Big Ten basketball?
I think they could, you know, particularly given the fact that they have two games against Iowa and a game against Illinois and a road game at Purdue. I mean, if somehow they lost four of five, which is at least feasible. I mean, you're talking about really stacking losses, and you'd be sitting at 16 and 11. I mean, that's going to be tough. You wind up maybe in the six or the seven line. The losses just, you know, add up, even though they're all fine losses. You know, none of them, I mean, the most questionable losses for Wisconsin all season are a home loss to an NCAA tournament caliber Maryland team, or very close to NCAA tournament caliber, and a road loss at Penn State, who's top 40 in most metrics. Like, those aren't bad losses, but, you know, they could finish. I mean, Wisconsin is not completely out of the woods to finish over 500 in the Big Ten. Like, that's kind of where we're at. So, yeah, I think the seven or eight line would be the absolute floor. I still accept them to the five or the six. But frankly, they were going to be my last four seed coming into Tuesday. But then at the last second, Florida State looked so impressive against Virginia that knocked Wisconsin off and back down to the five. So they're right there for now. And as long as they win, I would say, two to three more of their remaining five games, they will be in perfect good shape to be a top five seed.
Our resident bracketologist on this podcast, Kevin Sweeney, who is putting out his latest bracketology each and every Tuesday for Sports Illustrated, how does he stay fired up throughout this year? How does he stay fired up leading up to Selection Sunday and March Madness? He turns to Built Bar. He told me this before we started speaking. He ordered some Built Bar after being a part of this podcast, our resident bracketologist. They got sent to his door. He is feeling good on the energy and enjoying the taste because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It is truly a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. The improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. 18 amazing flavors, 6 new flavors, 12 original flavors. All the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and they're easy to chew. And Built Bars are also perfect for the health conscious person looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, but high in protein and high in fiber. They keep Kevin and myself going throughout this busy portion of the Big Ten basketball, college basketball season, getting ready for the NCAA tournament. By the time we get to Selection Sunday, which is in 23 days from now, it will be 728 days since the last Selection Sunday. We are feeling good. We know we need that energy. We turn to Built Bar to provide that to us with a great taste that literally feels like you're eating dessert, but having a very healthy snack for you as well. So go to BuiltBar.com like Kevin did and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. On this second ever Bracketology Wednesday, we're covering everything you need to know about the NCAA tournament field and the Big Ten Conference with Kevin Sweeney, our resident bracketologist. But what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. You can count on the fact that Locked On Today will be all the sports news you need in less than 20 minutes every day. You can also count on the fact that every Wednesday leading up to March 14th, Selection Sunday, we will have a Bracketology Wednesday. This edition continues with Kevin Sweeney talking about some Big Ten teams on the bubble. So speaking with Kevin Sweeney, our resident bracketologist on the Locked On Big Ten podcast, another edition of Bracketology Wednesday going through the bracket, his latest bracketology for Sports Illustrated. You can check that out at sportsillustrated.com. We'll put it in the episode description link so you have it right there as you're listening to this show. Now, Kevin, let's focus on the teams squarely on the bubble in the Big Ten Conference. One of them we talked about earlier on was Minnesota. Minnesota is winless this year on the road in Big Ten play, in non-conference play, in everything. They have two more chances, as it stands right now, to pick up a road win. That is tonight against Indiana in Assembly Hall and their second-to-last game of the year at Penn State. If they don't do that, is there still a shot for them to get into the NCAA tournament winless away from the barn this year?
Yes. I actually believe it's the most likely outcome that they would get in the field if they lost both of those games still. They could even, I honestly think they could lose both of those games and one of their remaining three home games, and they would still probably get into the field. Because when you look at the quality wins, you're going to have a win over a one seed in Ohio State, another win over a one seed in Michigan, a win over a 2-3 seed in Iowa. Like, it's going to be really hard to keep them out. But I had this conversation with a good friend of mine the other day. You never want to make the committee have you don't ever want to give them a reason. You never want to be the unique team that stands out in a bad way. And Minnesota will stand out in a bad way if they're like the first team ever that's never won a home game, to make the NCAA tournament. So you don't want to give the committee an excuse. And there have been a few examples in the past. You know, NC State with their number 33 net a couple years ago, not getting in because their non-conference schedule was horrible. SMU did a similar thing a couple years ago. You know, last year we're sitting there with Rutgers and we're like, okay, they got to win a road game. This year it doesn't feel entirely like Minnesota does, but I would do it just to be safe. I really would.
You don't need any red flags in the eyes of the committee. Now, I have to ask you here, Minnesota at the barn, where do you rank them on your seed line in terms of college basketball?
I mean, they would definitely be like a top 5 seed. I mean,
no doubt about it, right?
They're the top 25 caliber team.
I mean, that's Minnesota at home this year has been so impressive. Wins over Iowa, Ohio State, and Michigan, like Kevin mentioned there. So let's focus on another team. We talked about them last week, Maryland, who you said if they get to above 500 should be in the NCAA tournament field. Do you still feel the same way after what you've seen from the Terps this past week?
Yeah, the Minnesota win was big, not just because they won it, but how they won it. You know, that was a must-win game for them, and they came out with the requisite, you know, energy and focus necessary. And those things matter because, you know, style points don't maybe matter in the eyes of the committee, but they do matter in the eyes of the net. And the net has rewarded teams that win big, and Maryland won big there, you know, by 13 points. Look, you know, they got to take care of business in this Nebraska series. We know this. It's something that they just can't afford. They can't afford a loss. But if they come away from that unscathed, you know, you're feeling pretty good, particularly with the schedule in front of you. You've got Penn State at home. You've got Michigan State at home. You've got a road game at a reeling Northwestern. You know, you could stack some wins. And if they can get to, you know, over 500, like I've said, they're going to have the wins, and I'm going to put them in the NCAA tournament. So it's gonna be on the nail biter without question, really. I mean, maybe if they won out, they would be, you know, fully safe, but they're going to be sweating on Selection Sunday, and I think they will be on the right side of it in the end, but man, it is going to be close.
4 quad 1 wins for Maryland as it stands right now. And like you mentioned right there, Kevin, one of the more favorable schedules you will see in the Big Ten Conference down this home stretch. Another team that's a part of the bubble, but on the right side as it stands right now is Indiana, one of your last 4 byes into the NCAA tournament field. Last week, we talked about the game against Northwestern and how it would be the most classic Archie Miller thing to lose on the road in Evanston. Indiana did not lose, but it wasn't pretty going to double. Yeah, they gave it everything they had to lose that game, going to double overtime against the Northwestern Wildcats. And then they get blown out by Ohio State by 19 points on Saturday afternoon. Are you even more fearful now than you were a week ago about Indiana's NCAA tournament chances?
I kind of mentioned this earlier with the, you know, our personal opinions versus the actual, you know, the bracketology. And I don't watch Indiana and say, man, that's an NCAA tournament team. But I look at the resumes and I have a hard time keeping them out. And my hunch is that I'll continue to have a hard time keeping them out. Again, the best way for them to get into the field would be to win one of their remaining road games. They win at Rutgers or at Purdue, I think they're almost a lock. Their best way to fall out of the field is to lose one of the two or both of the two home games that they're favored in, Minnesota and Michigan State. Those are good ways to play yourself out of the field. So, you know, they're in a pretty solid position as of now. They're not a team that's very trustworthy in the slightest. They really should have lost to Northwestern, not once, but twice. It's just a matter of can they finish it off? And they are, you know, they're right there. The path is very clear for Indiana. They just got to get done.
Now, I ask you this not as our resident bracketologist on this podcast, but just a fan of college basketball, one of the most knowledgeable people covering college basketball. If Indiana stumbles down the stretch, fails to make the NCAA tournament, which will have games in Assembly Hall in the great state of Indiana, do you think Archie Miller's job is on the line when we get to the offseason?
It's going to be very interesting. I do think, you know, because them missing the tournament at this point would require, you know, an ugly loss probably at home. I do think that it could spark those conversations. My hunch would be that Archie gets one more year. Look, I mean, I think he's hurt by the fact that they didn't make the NCAA tournament last year because of the pandemic. You know, it would be a little bit of an easier thing for, you know, to swallow if you had an NCAA tournament that you could remember, you know, playing in the dance the previous year. But at the same time, like, this is not Indiana caliber basketball. This is ugly offense. This is, you know, lack of recruiting at the guard position. And at some point, you know, you're looking for an excuse at this point. If you're an Indiana administrator, right? Like, you're not wedded to the guy. You're not sitting there like, oh man, we're 100% committed to Archie Miller. You're like, okay, when does it make sense to fire the guy? And when you get to that position, in my opinion, you got to make the move quick, because otherwise you're just sitting around waiting for them to go on a hot run, and you have to give them a contract extension. And that's happened in the past. And if you don't think the guy's the guy, you shouldn't be waiting around for them to prove it. If you know it's not your guy, especially at a place like Indiana with big time resources for basketball, you should be making a move. So I think it's possible. I think if they don't make the NCAA tournament, I think it's maybe 50-50 that there'd be a move made. It's just hard to put a finger on at this point.
I think the optics of Indiana struggling down the stretch to not get into the tournament and then to have the NCAA tournament in Indiana, that would work against Archie Miller as we look forward to next year. Two other great guys in college basketball that cover the sport so well, Mark Titus and Tate Frazier, have already started to float the idea of Brad Stevens coming back to the state of Indiana to take over the IU basketball program. Just something to keep in the Tinkler file as we get ready for the offseason of college basketball. With all the information that our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney, is providing right now, if betonline.ag had odds to get into the NCAA tournament, you could use all of this info and make a boatload of cash, because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They might have some props. They might have some future odds coming out for this, but even that football is over. The NBA, college basketball, Big Ten basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. We have two games of Big Ten hoops on this Wednesday evening. First, it's the rematch from last night between Nebraska and Maryland. Rare back-to-back, a scheduling quirk within this Big Ten basketball season. No spread out as of yet. The people from betonline.ag need to see the result from last night's game, do all their numbers, get you a spread, but there will be one prior to that 7 p.m. Eastern tip. The second game of the evening, the nightcap, a very intriguing game that Kevin just spoke about, Indiana and Minnesota tonight in Assembly Hall. As our friends at betonline.ag see it, the Hoosiers, a 4.5-point home favorite, the over-under total, 138. This is a game that is huge for Indiana if they want to continue their hopes of playing in the NCAA tournament. It could be a home win that really solidifies their resume, as Kevin Sweeney, our resident bracketologist, just said. So head to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. And you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just in time to get your bets in for the ending portion of this Big Ten basketball season. And as we get into the NCAA tournament, again, use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Betting on Big Ten basketball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Lee literally brings like 3-4 decades worth of betting experience into each and every episode. So get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers each and every day. So subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcast. We give you some winners throughout this time of the Locked On Big Ten podcast, but on this Wednesday, it's Bracketology Wednesday. Let's find out how the Big Ten teams are doing in the NCAA tournament hopes of making this year's big dance. We have the NCAA tournament. We are speaking with our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney. He put out his latest bracket on Tuesday for Sports Illustrated. I want to ask you about Illinois, because Illinois is a 2-seed playing some of the finest basketball in all of the country right now. How confident are you that Illinois will stay around that 2 line, possibly even making a run to getting a number 1 seed?
Well, I think the biggest challenge in front of them is the fact that they have 4 road games in their final 5 games that are on the schedule. Combine that with the conference tournament, you know, it's hard to win away from home in this league. And, you know, how will they manage some of these tough road trips? And look, they're not easy games either. It's at Wisconsin, it's at Minnesota, where the barn has been, you know, such a fortress. At Michigan State, look, I'm never confident walking into East Lansing. I don't care how bad they've looked. I'm never confident that at Ohio State. Like, those are not easy games, and you know it would be easy for them to wind up in a spot not unlike where Iowa was a couple weeks ago, where they stacked a couple losses and fell off a couple seed lines. So you know there's a little bit more volatility here, but you know the metrics are really in their favor. The quadrant one wins are certainly in their favor. I think they're in really good shape to be at worst a number 3 seed. Now the big problem for Illinois, quite frankly, are the bracketing principles that are going to pretty much mandate that they're the number 2 seed in either Gonzaga or Baylor's region as a result of, you know, as a result of the fact that the number 2 seeds are, you know, what are the other 2 1-seeds, excuse me, are either of course Ohio State or Michigan. So it's going to be unfair when Illinois is going to be the number 5 team overall, just like we saw on the top 16 reveal. And they wind up being essentially like the number 7, but it is what it is. You're going to have to go through great teams to win a championship. Illinois will likely have to go through one of those, maybe a round earlier than they would have hoped.
Illinois could be a rematch against Baylor, a team they played in the non-conference portion of this college basketball season. So we've talked about 8 of the 10 Big Ten teams that you have slated into the NCAA tournament field in your most recent bracketology. The 2 others we had not mentioned, both 6 seeds in Rutgers and Purdue. You feel pretty comfortable about both of those teams and where they stand in the NCAA tournament field right now?
Yeah, they're in my lock tier. You know, it'd be almost impossible for them to play themselves out. It would be possible for them to, you know, go on a hot streak and sneak into that top 16 overall. It's also possible that they could go on a cold streak and wind up in an 8-9 game. And those are very important, you know, differences, because if you wind up in the 8-9 game, you have to go through a 1 seed to get to the second weekend. And if you're a 6 seed, you have to go through a 3 seed. And especially this year, You know, would you rather be lined up with Gonzaga in round two, or would you rather be lined up with, you know,
just stop you there. Just whoever you got to say other than Gonzaga. Yeah. Take them.
You don't want to be there. You just don't. So, you know, it matters. And that's why these games are important, even though, you know, the seeding wise, it's really just playing for seeding at this point for those two teams.
Kevin Sweeney, our resident bracketologist here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. His most recent bracketology came out yesterday for Sports Illustrated. If you're not checking it out, you're the dumbest person in all of the world following college basketball, because I'm having so much fun just picking your brain and learning from you here in our two most recent Bracketology Wednesdays on this podcast. I look forward to doing it for the couple more that we have until Selection Sunday, 23 days until Sunday, March 14th, 2021. Kevin Sweeney, thank you very much for your time. Our resident bracketologist, who maybe not getting as recognized around Evanston as we might like, but getting more Twitter followers, so that's always a good thing.
We'll take it. It's the hood and the mask. It's hard to identify me, but I'm sure the paparazzi will be coming soon. So I appreciate it, Ben.
So many thanks again to Kevin Sweeney, our resident bracketologist on this podcast. He will be with us each and every Wednesday leading up to Sunday, March 14th, Selection Sunday, providing you the latest information you need to find out what your favorite Big Ten team and their hopes are looking like for the NCAA tournament. Kevin is providing a wealth of knowledge. I am so glad to have him a part of this podcast. He is going to be incredible. In 10 years from now, he's going to be right next to that guy on ESPN, who I don't mention his name anymore, in the bracketology bunker, getting ready for the NCAA tournament and Selection Sunday. Many thanks again to Kevin Sweeney. Give him a follow, which he really enjoys, on Twitter at @CBB_Central, @CBB_Central. Kevin Sweeney providing us the latest knowledge each and every Bracketology Wednesday about the NCAA tournament. Coming up on tomorrow's show, it's a Thursday. It's two for Thursday. We look ahead to Sunday, a game we talked about in our conversation with Kevin Sweeney, the game in Big Ten basketball. Number 3 Michigan, number 4 Ohio State. We speak with both Jay Stevens of Locked On Buckeyes, Isaiah Hull of Locked On Wolverines to preview that game, where both teams stand as we get ready for the home stretch of Big Ten basketball, and both teams in action tomorrow night on 2 for Thursday. All that wrapped up into one great show. That comes tomorrow. This has been Bracketology Wednesday. So until we get to 2 for Thursday, have a splendid Wednesday.